Our reading today is Matthew 16, 21 through 26. Let us listen for the word of God. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who love their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life?" Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Friends, the call of Jesus to those first disciples is our call today. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Now, there is much that could be said about this teaching of Jesus, much more than we have time to explore together today. But I would like for us to consider for a few moments what it means to us to take up our cross. And I want to begin by reflecting on at least a couple of things that I think it does not mean. This teaching of Jesus is not primarily about individuals and individuals' personal problems. This personal application can lead to a trivialization of the teaching. For example, someone might complain about their crummy commute to work as the cross they have to bear. Now, I'm not suggesting that a long, crummy commute isn't difficult, but I don't believe that such things are what Jesus had in mind when he suggested that our call was to take up our cross and follow him. The other problem with applying this teaching of Jesus to individuals, at least an other problem, is that it allows an interpretation of the teaching that might suggest that we are required to endure suffering or abuse, and often to suffer alone and in silence, because someone somewhere told us that that was the holy thing to do, because that's the cross we've been given to bear. Now, this interpretation of Jesus' teaching can keep persons in situations and in cycles of abuse. This interpretation of Jesus is not a life-giving or life-affirming interpretation. And it was life-affirming that Jesus was trying to encourage his followers to be. To deny yourself is not about allowing someone to emotionally or physically do you harm. Any interpretation of this teaching of Jesus that suggests otherwise is not of God. Jesus' admonition to deny ourselves and to take up our cross and follow is not ultimately about individuals. It has deeply personal implications, of course. But ultimately, what Jesus calls us to do is to see ourselves in relationship to something larger than our own individual daily rounds. The invitation is to follow Jesus into the drama of God's saving work in the world. And that drama is and has always been played out in community for community. The cross is about the saving work of God for all people. From the beginning of what we call salvation history, God has called a holy people. And as we were reminded last week, God called a holy people for a holy purpose. Of course, individual leaders have been called to serve among the people, but the story of God's saving work has always been about how to live together. The cross stands at a crucial point in salvation history. It is the ultimate symbol of God's self-giving love and of the lengths to which our God goes to accomplish reconciliation and to restore wholeness between God and humankind and between and among the human family. Jesus calls people to follow him and teaches us how to love each other as we follow. Jesus calls people to follow him and teaches us how to live humbly and justly and peacefully with each other. Jesus teaches us how to listen for God's voice of wisdom through prayer so that we might be able to be who we most truly and fully are for and with each other. God's saving work is about much more than just our individual, personal salvation. God's salvation is this vision of people being reconciled one to the other and living in peace and mercy and justice together. And Jesus took up his cross for the sake of that vision. Jesus took up the cross for the sake of that picture of God's salvation. He took up his cross every time he challenged the ways of the world that said that people should be ignored because they are poor or blamed for their poverty. Jesus took up his cross when he challenged the powers that taught that the sick and the suffering were untouchable, when he loved the despised, when he honored children as real people worthy and valuable of his time and his attention, when he chose nonviolence in the face of violence, when he confronted the conceit of those who claimed that they had God all figured out. In these moments, Jesus was taking up his cross. Jesus was crucified because he loved God's people and wanted us to receive that love and then to share that love and care for and with each other. That's the cross that we are called to take up. It's that cross. It has everything to do with living together. It's not just a personal thing. It's not just about, as one of the teachers in Methodism says, it's not just about my personal relationship with Jesus. And he actually talks that way, so I'm not making fun of a general group of people. Stanley Hauerwas, if any of you all have ever heard of him, he talks with a pretty thick accent. He says, it's not just about my personal relationship with Jesus. It is that. Of course it's that. But what I'm suggesting today is it's a lot more. That the cross that we are called to take up has everything to do with living together in love and in mercy and compassion and justice, with sharing our lives with others generously and freely, with doing the harder thing for the greater good. This is not something that we do on our own. It is not something that we can do without and apart from community. I'll never forget, it's been years ago, but I had a colleague of mine who told me of a time when he walked into his church's fellowship hall, and there was a lot of bustling and activity going on as the community was preparing for Lenten Passion Play. And he walked into the fellowship hall, and in one corner he saw some men working on building this extraordinary-looking cross. He said he couldn't believe what he was seeing because it looked like they had gone out and just sawed down trunks of trees, these ginormous big trunks that were rough-hewn and just massive. And he went over and was just commenting on how amazing this cross was that they were building. One of the men who was working on it said, "Yes, I'm really happy with the way that it's turned out. It looks so good. I'm actually going to be carrying it in the play." He said, "But you know, we made it out of styrofoam and paper mache." He said, "If it were the real thing, I'd never be able to manage it alone." You see, we as individuals would never be able to manage the cross alone. It's just too heavy. We're called to take up the cross together, which means that we are to follow Jesus' way of living and of loving and of serving. The church is a primary place for us to learn how to do that. Not just with our heads, but through what we do, how we act, how we treat one another, through our priorities. We need each other in community to support us when we're struggling, to encourage us to take risks and to develop and to offer our gifts, to hold us accountable when we lose sight of that larger vision and begin to turn in on ourselves and make it all about me. We need one another to celebrate with when signs of the kingdom begin to break in among us. We get to practice together, you see, the ways of giving and loving and serving and risking that Jesus models for us as we create and live together in Christian community, which is who and what we are. And like Jesus, we will be tempted to opt out, to not go there, to turn away from the hard work of risking love, of being about the work of reconciliation, of standing up to injustice and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. But oh, friends, how the world needs for us to continue to take up the cross together. With gentleness and with strength and with love, because it has been a long, hard summer in our world. A long, hard summer. The world needs us. We are so far from living the vision of God's reign of peace and justice that Jesus lived and died to establish. But friends, we are offered the assurance that as we offer our lives, not hoarding them, but offering them in service to God's vision of peace and justice, not only will we gain life in its truest and fullest sense, but then we also ourselves become a sign of hope and of love manifest in the world. The founder of the Taizé community in France, Brother Roger, once said, "Since my youth, I think I have never lost the intuition that community life could be a sign that God is love and love alone. That community life could be a sign that God is love and love alone." That is what it means to take up the cross of Jesus and to follow. In a world so broken, now we have an opportunity to be a sign right in this moment. For through these next moments, we together will be sharing in prayer, not just for ourselves and our own needs, but for the needs of a world that stands in need. And so in these moments, as we sing together, as we sit and allow music to lift us as we hear the words of prayer spoken and the words of the Psalms, which is our tradition's prayer book, as we enter into this rhythm of song and psalm and prayer and silence, may we be a concrete sign of God's love offered through prayer for the sake of the world. I invite you to participate as fully as you feel the Spirit moving you to do so through song. You can certainly come forward to kneel at the altar rail at any time, or to simply sit and pray. Let us lift up our hearts, our voices, and all that we are as an offering to our God in prayer.